Ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
Good afternoon, everybody. Here we are on Eye on Prescott, and we have a very special guest in the house today, Chad.
I know, he's really special, and he's a good friend of ours, too.
He is a good friend of ours. James Lazock is with us. He's one of the local business people here in town. More than that, though, Prescott native all his life and has some very interesting insights in terms of what's happening in Prescott.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
Good to see you, James.
I'm glad he said that because not everybody says that.
Phil doesn't.
No,
does
that's
he?
True. No. We get crickets.
Anyway, we're going to be here today talking with James about the mining activity. About 11 miles out of Prescott here, there's Mount Trittle, Mount Union.
Trittle.
Yes.
Are you trying to do your accent again? Trittle, Trittle, Basil Boswell.
Trittle is what it is in real English.
We want
but
to start off
James
right.
is American English.
Okay.
So let me sort of set the scene, and we're going to ask James a few questions to get him going. But, you know, recently there's been a number of stories about the Chinese taking over a mining claim southeast of town here. And that is the old mining claim of the Senator Mine. Originally, that whole area was set aside and prospected for gold, silver, zinc, lead, and copper. And in the 1860s, mines were dug there, adits were put in. It was a pretty heaving area because of the cost of gold at the time. And there's been recorded commercial activity there through the 40s.
That's correct.
And then it seemed to die away, although I found a couple of articles on Canadian firms coming in the 50s, 56, 57, etc. But what we wanted to do here was set the scene for a discussion of all sides around mining in Prescott, the Chinese coming in, buying mines in Prescott, and what we should be looking forward to or what we should be careful about going forward. So, James, thank you again for coming
you, James.
In.
You bet.
So as you think about this, you know Prescott, you know the south end of Prescott extremely well. Tell us a little bit more about your impressions of that area of Prescott and the mining activity down there as you were growing up.
That is correct.
We
mountain biked and we dirt biked that area, and, you know, the Bradshaws. If you were growing up here, that's where we played.
Right.
And then if I could go on, we might want to start with the paved road stops and the dirt road starts.
So and that's that might the be Senator the Highway.
That is correct.
And where it stops being paved. We're going from there on,
and I'll just give you some history as a kid growing up here. Some information people might not understand or know about, but as the road continues on, you've got the road splits to go down to the right to Ponderosa Park. And right. then further on, you go a little bit further, a mile or half a mile, the road splits again to the right. And I'll just start describing as a kid growing up these
some
mining
the
camp
you
areas
had
yeah that we right. had
maybe,
a lot
maybe
of
not
fun.
Tell us everything but
yeah.
you can tell us most
yeah
things.
we've got to hold back on some of this. At any rate,
this show is R-rated, not X-rated.
No,
right?
Yeah, we got to be careful.
Yeah.
So we get into an area that's on the right that ends off into what's called Kendall Camp. And in this area, this goes back to my old dentist, Paul Hicks. And he has a building, on Cortez Street. But Kendall Camp was an interesting Boy Scout camp. And then we would go out there camping and hunting. There's the apple orchard out there, and that was always a great place to go deer hunting.
That's easy.
The deer love
that's
their
easy.
Apples.
Let's just feed them.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that camp was quite interesting. That was the Kendall Camp mine, and there was a 20-foot cistern or larger cistern where the water was coming out of the mine. And you could, back in the days, we could just walk in the mines. Right. Most of them were open. Some of them actually had the rail car railings coming out of them, which we'll get into up into Senator Mine. But brings back memories of swimming in the cistern. And that thing was always full of water. All the animals
went there. How big was the cistern?
I'm trying to the size, 20, 30 feet. It was big enough to swim in, but it was in summer a great place to be. We could go up and there were cabins there. And right. you could just stay in a cabin, it was kind of abandoned. And hunting, like I said, and then eventually it started causing problems, people hanging out up there and partying and things like that. So the Forest Service came in and dozed that over. So that history of Kendall Camp is all gone.
History.
Yeah. And you can still go down there. There's homes in there, and you can still go down and cross the creek, Wolf Creek, and, that all that tributaries drain into the Hacienda.
Right.
And right. That was just a really neat place as a kid growing up. And
beautiful piece of country out there. We were out there with you just over a week ago, and beautiful piece of country.
Yeah, we told James he should start one of those Jeep tours. It was amazing what he knows. I mean, he knew where, hidden wells were, and,
Well, we were thinking, no, we're not going pink here. We don't do pink.
Probably camouflage.
Camel works. Camel Jeep tours will work.
Okay, yeah. But it was amazing. It was so beautiful out there, and then the history as we were going along, and James knew just every tree, every rock, every corner, every mine shaft.
It's not for the faint-hearted.
Oh, no, it's not at all.
It's really not.
Well, back then, the forest, a lot of people don't know this, but we used to go get mushrooms and hunt, and there was, the forest was green. I didn't even know what a bark beetle was.
Right.
Real major forest fires until the Great Battle Fire, which we can talk about further up. But at that time, the forest was very healthy, and there were ferns growing everywhere, and the Wolf Creek and Upper and Lower Wolf Creek were running in there. There's the swimming holes, which we could get into eventually, and all the benefits of the Bradshaws.
Right.
And pristine area. And then we started into the drought in the late 80s, 90s started, and that's when everything started to change.
Well, at least you didn't know about the arsenic in the water when you were swimming up
there. Well, no.
Your skin still looks pretty good.
Yeah, my hair is blonde, staying blonde as I get older.
There you go.
But anyhow, as you come up further.
You must expect to come in here and get insulted same time.
It's all part of the genre.
Right.
Yeah. But as we go up further from Kendall Camp, it starts to get up into the Senator Mine.
Right.
And when I was a kid here, the outbuilding where the main steel beam structure is now had a roof system on it. It had the metal siding all the way around. And that was the steel girders, steel panels and everything. That was the basically the, machine shop repair shop.
Blacksmith and stuff
like
that.
That's where they would create and if anything broke, they could machine it and that was the outbuilding for that. And sad to say, since then, all the panels have been removed and the roof's been removed. But back in the day, that was a really neat structure out there.
Right.
And you could just go down off the road on the right there, and we'd hike down and swim in the water and hang out there, and everybody liked to hang there and suntan. The girls really liked it. It was a great place to get to know people, And
well, I did, when we went out there a couple of weeks ago with James, it's amazing the new cuts of roads and new transformers for electrical power and stuff. It was
they're bringing
kind of really quick,
Yep. Lots of signs of emerging development without there being a lot of signs of mining at this point.
Right. Correct. Something large is going on out there when they bring in larger transformer and pole upgrades and main line upgrades, things like that.
But right.
Also back to the mine, a lot of people don't realize this is hearsay, but it's been somewhat knowledge to everyone. The Senator Mine really did not produce all that much gold. And also they really looked for it. There's supposed to be miles, and I've been in the mines, other than the water situations where you're digging along and then you break into a flood situation and everybody's trying to get out because the mine is being, you know, there's a water break or water line or a fissure and everything's flooding. And so that's quite interesting. So we were playing in those mines when we were kids, and you had to be careful because you'd come along and then the ground would just disappear.
There was no safety or security around the entrance to mines or shafts.
None of them. None of them.
Yeah, you could fall down a shaft before you knew it.
Eh? Yep. And
so very dangerous out there.
And, yeah, and the Forest Service started to realize that and step in and starting to shut the mines and close things off. But, yeah, that's and then we have now the current retention bases.
So in your youth, really, you were hiking, you were roaming, you were enjoying life around the towns of Groom Creek, Walker, Potato Patch, Mount Trital.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And Ponderosa Park.
Now there's a rumor that they're going to mine the top of Mount Trital.
You know, put in a helipad. What else is going to happen, right?
There's lots of rumors.
I think people should be, you know, we should all kind of get together. The locals here would be nice to see if we could get something together and get an interest going out there that this doesn't get out of control.
Well, I thought the ADEQ and they're supposed to do remediation or, you know, on the water, and they have those catch basins, right? Those
retention basins. That's for the byproduct of the past mining.
It's the acid mine, arsenic and aqueous.
So I don't know. It would be something to check into how far the EPA has been involved in this and the mining association and who's accountable for maintaining that type of oversight.
Right.
Tony got a hold of Paul Marsh, the mine inspector, and he was very he's a great guy. We saw him at an event one time, and he's supposed to be getting back to us by the end of the month. And he's been going out there just trying to find someone, you know.
So. Yeah. I think, you know, it's really good you guys are bringing this up because this information, I think the whole community could get involved with it and around this. When you look at Granite Dells and what everybody got involved in there. And I think I'm here because of that fact, too, to support the local community and what is happening out here around this community.
And the community does not see it. If you drive out there, you'll be overwhelmed if you see the new cuts and stuff. It's out of sight, out of mind, pretty much. That's why we want to bring
really
this to the
is.
Forefront.
Sure.
To
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Well, appreciate you guys doing
thank
this.
You.
You know, the Gold Paradise Peak Incorporated Company really went on record with the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality back in 2021 and offered to start treating the mine waters from the Senator Mine. And that is those six spillways we can see from the road as you
go.
Yeah,
the retention basins, yeah.
Yeah, they call them spillways in here, and they're supposed to be vegetatively remediating the aqueous, the water flow from the mine, which is a continuous flow.
Yeah. So, as long as I recommend, you know, somebody get in contact with the EPA and the mining commission and, you know, let's see what's the arsenic levels?
Right.
What are the mineral levels? Mm-hmm. Is that information being made public to all the local people here or the mayor or, the city council or.
Well, that information is actually available, James. You know, there's a number of tests which have been done, but the success of the vegetative remediation isn't obvious at this time. We're not getting new numbers in terms of that water.
So it's like an Elgin system. It's living entity system that is cleansing itself.
It is.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And so.
Yet we haven't seen the numbers in terms of how good the cleansing is. But we do have decent numbers in terms of where we started from. So something's going on positively there in terms of looking after that effluent. But the last mining activity in the area, as far as you know, actual mining out there, started in the 1860s, but it continued until the 1940s. But Has there been anything really active since then, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. I just, you know, growing up out there, we'd go to Hacienda Lake.
Right.
And and there's another water tributary situation that should be, I highly recommend that somebody be paying some more attention to the Hacienda Lake situation there also. That drains into the Wolf Creek and Hacienda River. And I don't know if any EPA studies have been done there, and if there's mining from Walker draining all the way down through those tributaries again,
and
then Walker drains the other direction. But I don't think there's this is something you guys would want to really take a close look at is Hacienda Lake.
And now, Hacienda Lake is built by a dam. There is a dam there.
Well, that was our original water.
Right.
Back in the day, and then which drained into Goldwater Lake, which was our main water for the city of Prescott back in the day.
Wasn't the city council back then, I think they were the ones that either sold it off or wasn't that what happened with that?
Yeah, there's an issue there we need to someday talk about. Those rights were sold to Scottsdale, and that's a whole nother story, so... but something to check
into.
But
we'll get to that, if not in this interview, in a future one.
So we'd go up there and swim and fish in the summer in Hacienda Lake and skate on that lake in the winter.
Right.
Good memories up there. And if you go a little further before you make the left to Hacienda Lake, right there is the split in the road with the Senator and Hacienda Lake. And that, like I was mentioning before, is where we would that's the main tubing run in winter for the APS, the main power lines. And we'd use that to, slide down the hills. Great times. A lot of great memories there back in the day. And then from there on, we start getting closer to, the Eagle Mine Road, which breaks off, heads up the mountain. And we're starting to get closer to the Chinese situation up there, and Eagle Mine breaks, and then you have the Davis Dunkirk mine up there.
That
and,
just sold, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Phil Davis is a good friend of mine, and we all grew up there. Phil Davis had a cabin up there, and anybody that lived here as long as we have, I grew up in Mountain Club, but we'd all go up there, and that was a great kegger place to get away.
He had to be one tough person to live there up there in the winter. You said he was up there all the time.
Phil's good people. And that's the Davis Dunkirk mine, and there are other mines up there. And I think it would behoove you guys to look into all the mines in that area, because the mountain drops off past Phil's place, and that ends into the main mine.
Yeah.
And
which we were there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of history.
A lot of mining right there.
Yes.
And that road splits also before you go to Eagle Mine Road, and it drops off down into Mayer, and that's the back way to get down there.
Right.
And that's where the big something else of interest when I was a kid here is the road will split up on top and go to Big Bug Mesa, and we had the Big Bug, the burn up there, mm-hmm. the battle fire.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid here in Mountain Club, there were a lot of ashes. We were driving around stomping the ground in 71, I think it is, close to that area when the battle fire occurred. And at night, you could still see the glow. And that was a very scary time for everybody in Prescott. The ashes were literally falling out of the sky everywhere.
In downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I was in Mountain Club, but it was everywhere.
Right.
And that was a big scare. And we'd go up there, and you could cut wood afterwards. But that's where the big battle for – that was the start of the fire season.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, there are a lot of mines up there. There were things like the Little Senator Mine.
Yes.
And then the Big Senator Mine. And then the 10 Spot was up there as well.
Yeah.
And all of these places – I drew up a couple of maps here and you can see where all these mine shafts here are in this locality.
Oh, that's great, Tony. Because
Hamer, are you up there mining right now?
Are you mining up there?
Sounds like you got
my nuggets out.
Hey, well, we don't want to say that on the air.
You
cannot have your nuggets out on the air. Just saying.
But no, there seem to be about 12 mines, major
mines. Major mines, yeah. Yes. You can still, we went up there the other day, and you can still find the entrance to the other mines besides the Senator, right on the right side. And I'd be a little careful about going in there. You know how the bear situation is these days.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know what they're drinking in the water.
Well, we did lose a human life up there to a bear, didn't we? 6 months ago now, something like that.
Well, those mines are really dangerous, especially the center. It's got all kinds of water in it and stuff, so it's not safe to even go near that. So.
Right, right.
Well, they have it blocked off, and they're monitoring it. But again, go another 100 feet, 200 feet down the road, and here's another open mine on the right.
Did you obey those signs when you were a kid, James?
There were no signs.
That's what I'm saying.
That's just, you know, that was the interesting part. Yeah. There are a lot of mines out there. I do think some major research should be done on the other side of Tridle Down, because that might be how the mine, the Chinese mine, is interfacing with the Senator mine. And are they connecting those mines from both sides of that mountain? Just stuff to be aware of. And
so when we were out there, we saw the old Senator mine. I think it was the old Senator mine. And then we went down the hill. And there's an open pit mine down the hill there.
You have to go up the top. Don't take Eagle Mine Road. Make the right and go past Phil Davis' cabin. And, you know, and you head down. And that's where the Davis, Dunkirk, and all the other mines are right there. And nobody goes over there. And nobody even realizes that whole side of Tridle towards the south and what's occurring there. So.
Right.
I'm recommending you guys do some more research there.
Well, we're going to have to get a bigger four-powered.
You're going to need a real four-wheel drive, Jad.
Drive. Not the British one.
Not the bling. Yeah.
Well, at least it's British. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm giving back a little bit. Hey, real quick, I wanted to, you know, looking at the mine development plan, it just doesn't seem right here, because they're talking about a 75% recovery and an estimated 36 ounces of gold in the first 2 years. That's nothing.
Yeah,
the amount of money you're talking about going in there, and with
at $2,000 an ounce.
Yeah, for 2 years.
I mean, well, that dates back to information I've heard as a kid here that the Senator mine was almost like an investment scheme. For the East Coast investors, it would
come
out.
Are you saying the town?
I'm not saying anything.
People in the town of Prescott are trying to scam people on gold.
Well, you know,
I know you use scheme, but I use scam.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, you know, the production of the mine. These are good questions that you guys should be looking at. Is what is the actual production of that mine, and what is the reason the Chinese would be, or the investors would be, interested in this? And of course they have the right to mine if they've done the appropriate paperwork and filled everything out. But I would start looking into what is the value of the actual ore counts of that mine up there, you know, and where does that lead us on a local level? Are we going to have trucks coming down Senator Road someday?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's one of my questions of you is, you know, okay, if we were to get back into mining and they want to take the ore all the way to Los Angeles and ship it to China, and I think I understand that because of their lower manufacturing costs in China, but that's a hell of a lot of transportation of ore with a very small gold content to it.
Yeah, the concern I would have is, you know, I'm sure they're doing the appropriate things, but we want to look at the future. Where does this go? How is the ore moved? Are they taking it down the backside, the front side? Is this going to impact, you know, everybody in Groom Creek? Or, you know, again, I don't know these, but it would be good. I would, you know, good research to get involved in.
You know, it looked to me from the open pit mine, as we looked across the valley there and Skull Valley, et cetera, that they'd probably want to put a road in there.
Again, more research has to be done.
I agree with
you. That is a big issue. What's happening to our mountain range, especially on the other side of Tridle?
Well, it's like you said, Tony, it looks like Swiss cheese back there, because they're already starting to drill holes in the sides of the mountains and stuff. So it's... I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to that or what.
You know,
again, research. And we also want to get in touch with the mayor of Groom Creek.
Yes,
and some of the citizens out there to see what their thoughts are. I know they had a meeting, but I don't think that meeting really touched on a lot of things that they thought it would.
Maybe you guys could do a concerned citizens, council that would monitor like the Granite Dells situation, or maybe get the people involved in that.
Yeah.
You know, we're all looking to support our forest here, and it's one of the most beautiful forests. I mean, the old growth out there is phenomenal.
I couldn't believe how big some of those trees were and how green it was back there. Yeah, I mean, we went back quite a ways. I think we drove back, 30-40 minutes, and it was just unbelievable. I felt like I was in Colorado.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That's what it's like. I mean,
it's gorgeous.
No, it is. It's beautiful countryside up there. You know, the other side of the equation, of course, is if this is a commercially viable enterprise, it would mean jobs for the area of Yavapai County.
Right.
So if we can do this in some environmentally sensitive way, then there may be some real positives in terms of the economy overall and tax base.
Do you guys know whose district that is on the Board of Supervisors?
Mary Mallory's.
Okay, so yeah. I would talk to her, and a lot of good questions you guys are bringing up. Very good. Some attention should be paid to this for sure.
Well, good. James, this has been very interesting.
Very, very good. Thank you for all your history, and thank you for taking us out there. I mean, that was fantastic. I mean, I learned more than in that couple hours than I have since I've been up here.
We were the pilot run for his new Jeep tour business.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The camo Jeep tour.
I don't know. It seems like I've always got a lot of work, so
you
I don't know if we can fit that in. But
yeah.
But James, thank you. Your insights are well taken.
Thanks, James.
Thanks very much.
It was a pleasure.
Well, that was a really interesting interview with James Lazock. What an interesting guy. Long-term resident. Really, we think the Chinese mine on the south side of town is going to be a major irritating source for a lot of residents in terms of how much activity there'll be there, how much potential there is for environmental damage as well. So we think we're going to put together a three-part series, and we'd love to have you join us for those three parts.
Yeah, I think it's super important. We focus more on stuff that's happening inside of our town, but what's happening out in our woods and our wilderness right now, I think people would be shocked if they really knew. And I think it's great that we have people like James Lazock coming out and telling us the history of the area. I think it's going to be great because we've already reached out to the mine inspector, and he's going to report back to us by the end of the month and talk to the residents and then local groups that are, looking at it from their point of view. And just the research you and I are doing, Tony, because we're finding a lot of documents and different things that's happened with the mine since the late 1800s. It's a big puzzle, and I think the people of our residents of our area, I think they're going to be very enlightened on listening to our next three podcasts.
Yeah, I think that's right, Chad, and I think the Chinese owners of the mine are obviously doing some good things, but there's also all sorts of potential for damage to our local ecology here as well.
Well, and it's been an issue for the last 100 years for the arsenic coming in out of those mines and stuff. And supposedly, per our information, they're supposed to be cleaning it up right now. So we just, the great thing for us being Ion Prescott is that we want to make people accountable. We want to make sure it's getting done and going to the right authorities like the ADEQ, the mine inspector, and others that are a very important part of this puzzle.
Yep. No, I think you've got that right. There's such a depth of history here in Prescott, and this is part of the history of Prescott. And there's lots of unknown, previously unknown, and interesting facts as well. So we'll undoubtedly get into water quality on this one. So that'll be a piece of the three-part series as well.
Yeah, and I think our listeners will really appreciate it. I think you're going to want to tune in because every episode is going to be very exciting and new information as we solve this puzzle.
Yep, absolutely. We'll try to keep a little bit of humor in there still, but the facts, man. Just tell me the facts.
No ancient Chinese secrets, huh?
I think not. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for tuning in.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott. We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.
The preceding commentary program has been paid for by Ion Prescott, which is solely responsible for its content.